This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the program, carrying on here as we always do. This time, the middle of the week here, folks. It's a Wednesday edition. Glad to have you with us, wherever you are listening and around the world. Rum, we always, on Wednesdays and Fridays, get a bit of a visit in and find out what's going on in different regions around the country. Today, for our regional content report, we're joined by Jim Crisco, AMI Content Development Specialist in Edmonton. James, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I was listening to the very interesting conversation you just had with Margaret. And if you recall, because you were talking about the Forest City, and when you visited Edmonton, we went into the river valley and used the funicular.
I totally remember. Yes. Uh-huh.
And that area is 22 times larger than Central Park, the New York Central Park, the amount of green space through the middle of the city.
Wow.
And we are seeing more. I live about four blocks off of the river valley, and certainly seeing more wildlife come into the city. I saw just about, well, on my security camera, there's a coyote that lives in the neighborhood because he walks through my yard quite often. And there was a deer that went into a park near me just not too long ago. I don't know what the cause is. I think the coyotes might be following, you know, sources of food, maybe rabbits or something out of the river valley, but there's certainly more interaction. So yeah. It's interesting.
Coyotes, they say too, are the one creature that's most comfortable living close to us. We don't bother coyotes. They're not intimidated by human beings, apparently enough. And that's why they tell people to be so careful when walking your dogs. Here in London, we get that a lot when people are off in the trails that, hey, folks, be real careful, because the coyotes are really smart and really quick when it comes to smaller animals. So it is
and
something
especially
here.
Don't try to feed them a McDonald's burger thinking that it might be a dog.
Oh, good grief. You shouldn't even do that to a poor dog.
It sounds like the voice of experience from you.
Oh,
somebody's
doesn't it?
Experience.
Yeah, I'm
my
sure.
My little brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, especially if it's not his dog, the problems later for that poor puppy. Oh, my goodness.
You are actually, according to our city parks people had put out messages earlier this year, you're actually supposed to scare them when you see
what?
Them. Like, make
the
noise.
Coyotes, yeah.
And yes, because otherwise they become acclimatized to people if you just quietly go around them or something. So you're supposed to scare them. They even had a group of people that were volunteers in the city that would go out with tennis balls with bells in them and such and just throw them near the coyotes to send them back into the river valley. So
that is if they don't scare you first, right?
That's
the
right.
Thing.
That's right.
Exactly.
Or if they pick up the ball and say, "Want to play catch?" You know, they're okay, and they throw it back. You know, I guess you're not really scared. No, come closer. No, thank you. I can just picture Rumya now. You know what they say, Rum? Hey, be big. Be big. Scare it away. Be big. And I can hear Rumya now. Go away.
Yeah.
Please.
Do you want the burger?
That's right. Here, take the burger. Take the second if you want. I thought we'd share, but bye. Jim, let's start in Saskatchewan today, where the city of Regina is looking to actually do some training, recreation staff we're talking about, when it comes to inclusion. What is the city actually going to do in this case?
This is a great story, and it's from the Regina Leader Post. And what's happening is they did a consultation in Regina, and they talked to persons with disabilities to try to find out why they're not using public, you know, facilities more than they are. And it came back with a couple of different reasons. One is the comfort of being able to actually get to the facility. So having transportation and having the right transportation to get them there. But then the other was I don't want to say the handling, but the interaction with facility staff sometimes wasn't great, because the facility staff might not understand, you know, some of the inclusive methods that they need, or they might not know the equipment, or there might be just an uncomfortable interaction between the two. So the city saw this and said, we need to train the staff. We need to train them on a couple of fronts. So what they did was they put aside money. They put it aside in the next budget, but they've already started the training because they found that the person with disabilities had what they called a general lack of trust of using the facility. So they put it aside to train their staff to A, use the equipment properly. So any very specialized equipment, they'd have skill-based training on listing, repositioning, and how to use adaptive equipment. And then the second part of the training, which I think is equally, if not more important in some cases, was behavioral. And it's the attitudes towards people with disabilities, language, treating people with respect, appropriate behavior around mobility devices like wheelchairs. So it's this holistic approach of this is how you best serve our clients that are coming in. And the really cool thing before, because I know you guys probably have questions. So before I stop, the people that are doing the training is a group that is a disability community arts organization called Listen to This, D-I-S. And if you go back to our old Our Community episodes online, which you can get or on our app, we did a story on them. We did a half hour documentary on them. An amazing group. They're actors. They do plays and different types of I think dance, but definitely acting. They do plays, and they were hired by the city to do the training, and it's worked out fantastic.
Wow! And when you talk about supporting people wanting to be trained and having a variety, because we're not all the same, not all situations and stuff like that. So to create that empathy and making sure people understand, look, you're not supposed to be some perfect expert on any given disability, any, you know, given community out there. And it's so wonderful. We're just wanting you to understand people are different and how people like to be communicated with and some of those things. A lot of it, Jim, for me, is making people feel less intimidated by said group, that, you know, when you talk about inclusion and being open and comfortable. None of us like to, if we're not sure of what to say, what to do, how to ask a question, or should I not ask it? You know, am I being insensitive? How to handle that? It's so daunting and stressful.
Absolutely. I would say that the very, very potentially the most important part of this, but certainly a key part of this, is how to open the conversation with people and feel comfortable to go up and say, you know, what can I do to make your experience better? Is there anything that you need? And if you do, I'm over here. It's that easy. And I think that's brilliant. I hope that this spreads across the country.
So tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, over to Alberta, we're going to talk a little bit about Blind Square, the app. It's now able to guide you through some trails in a couple of parks in the province. So where is this being rolled out?
So what happens, and just a little brief, if anyone hasn't experienced Blind Square or used it from our listeners, they call it a 3D audible GPS app that feeds information to the user about their surroundings. It uses audible cues to guide people along the route and to alert them to things like, you know, surface changes, bridges, crossings, benches, buildings, trail features, that type of thing. So it's an app that can really kind of take the place of a human guide in some scenarios. And what's happened is, in Alberta, they've just started to roll it out into some parks. And the latest is called Fish Creek Provincial Park, which is near Calgary. And what they've done is they've taken a trail or two from it. I think a trail and then some trails. I guess it's more than one. And also their visitor center. And they've inputted it into the Blind Square. So now, you know, the article, which is this is from the CBC. They spoke to a gentleman named Ali Khalil, and he is from the CNIB, and he was raving about it, that it now allows him to go for a walk in this beautiful park and experience all the you know, the smells, the sounds, the tranquility of the park without having to worry about a guide with him. So it's really great. And they've opened it in that park, and they did open it in May in Lois Hole Provincial Park, and they're looking at a third location at the Peter Lougheed Provincial Park this winter. So it's starting to spread. So hopefully, you know, in short time, there will be this opportunity in various parts of the province.
Yeah, and we're not just talking day trips, right, Jim? We're talking like when you go and camp or have an RV experience or all these kind of things where you might be out with your family or with groups of people, and you still want to utilize some of the your time alone and go on some solo walks and explorations. And I think it's really, really incredible. And I love that, you know, people are able to speak to that because, you know, it's wonderful to have sighted guide. It's wonderful to have audio description, but sometimes you just want to have experiences, whether it be sports or hanging out in nature, or just going on walks where you want to feel like you're able to do something alone and the access is there for that. So that's amazing. And I'm super excited that they're going to keep expanding.
Absolutely. And I think you really, really brought up a great point is, especially when you're out in the parks and perhaps you're camping or just hiking, sometimes it's the solitude you want. You want to be alone and you do that to, you know, commune with nature. And this is the way to do it. So it is great, a great news story.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. And that access that people just want to have, that freedom to do different things. I mean, I have to think that so many of us, when a lot of the GPS stuff came out, we thought, oh my goodness, this will be great. I'll be able to find this place, that place. We never really stopped, Jim, as a person who would rely on an app like Blind Square or any GPS apps that we would use for being able to go out into nature, go out and do stuff. You know, as coverage for cell phones becomes greater and greater, where are we going to go? Now it's becoming more, the possibilities are almost endless.
Absolutely. And that's a very valid point. Very good point of it'll grow with the coverage of cell phones. And certainly in some rural areas or more remote areas in provinces like Alberta, the coverage is getting better, but it's not quite there yet, but it will happen.
Jim, thanks a lot as usual. Love to hear from you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You bet. Take care, guys. Have a great week.
Our content development specialists join us on Wednesdays and Fridays right here on Kelly and Company to fill us in on things going on in their regions. Coming up in the next hour of the program, registered nurse Leslie DePoe dives into how we can take care of our mental health. Also, Halloween candy can be a great multi-sensory experience for everyone, and Leanne Barta will share how we can make it so this year. But up next after the break, Bill Shackleton with The Buzz. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.